Good morning again, everybody. Hey, I am excited to be preaching right now in learning how to generously give some of the poor talents that I have to the other church. So, to the other church, to the other side of worship on Sunday mornings. So we are in this series that we're talking about living generous lives. And we've talked lots about what generosity looks like. But I just want to make a quick statement about one of the things that I'm generous for. I am really generous for Steve, who does our announcements every week. I miss it when he's not here, and I have to do it, and I'm like, I wish Steve was here. But I am very glad that Steve is so generous to serve our church, and I'm grateful for his generosity in how he serves us. And so we just decided to have all the mistakes on one Sunday. So we just get them out of the way. They're done for the year. All the rest of the year is perfect. I didn't know if you guys knew this or not. But, man, I guess when the wheels come off, they really come off. Thank you, though, Steve, for your generosity to serve us, not just as an elder, but to serve us on stage and every week. And for those of you who know, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I was out. I called Steve on a Friday. And I was like, I need you to preach. And he goes, I got it. Don't even worry about it. Because he is generous. He lives a generous life and sometimes a sacrificially generous life. That's the principle we're looking at. One of our values as a church is sacrificial generosity. And in this series, we are talking about a lot of things, but really at the heart of what we want each of you to understand, whether you're in this room, maybe you're watching online, is that we have to be generous people. As believers, as Lighthouse Church, as a home for our community to glorify God and enjoy his presence, we have to be generous. And we have to learn this principle both for our financial stewardship, but also for our lives, living out the Christian faith. So we've been in this series, and it's a series where we've talked a lot about money and financial principles, but I need you to understand these two basic truths, and we've gone over these each of the last 2 weeks, and I just want to quickly go over them again. These two basic truths about this series. And the first basic truth is this: financial stewardship is a biblical principle. It is awkward to talk about money, but it's also a biblical thing to talk about money. And we want to talk about the things that the Bible talks about, even if sometimes they make us a little bit uncomfortable, right? Because if you want like comfort church, this ain't gonna be it. If your toes are never stepped on, either you got really strong boots or we're not preaching the word of God. Okay, financial stewardship is a biblical principle that is more about your heart than about your bank account. This whole series is a heart series. The concept of stewardship is a heart concept. Basic truth number two, generosity and giving are biblical principles for Christian living. They are not just about money. I just told you how Steve was generous with his time, how Steve sacrificed his time for our church, for me. This morning, I tried to be generous when Josh was like, hey, you want to play keys this week? My initial thought, you know what it was? Absolutely not. No way. I am getting better, but I'm not there yet. And then he goes, hey, we don't have vocalists. Do you want to sing backup? No. It's going to be a lot of tea morning this morning. But in my mind, I'm going, how can I preach that we are supposed to be generous to the point of sacrifice when I just want to stay in my comfort zone? And then God and I had a conversation about conviction on the weekend, and can it please wait till Monday? He said no. Here we are. All right. Last week, as we talked about this, we talked about a financial principle. We talked about the principle of tithing. And if you haven't been here for the rest of the series, or maybe you're watching online and this is the first one of these series you would watch, if you're watching online, I would tell you to enjoy our worship service, but to go and watch the other sermons in this series, right? It lays the foundation for what we're talking about. In fact, this morning, we're talking about these twin principles. And the first one is really what we talked about last week, this idea of tithing and how tithing, the principle of tithing, just a really quick overview, right, is to give one-tenth of what you have received, you recognize one-tenth of what you received as God's. And tithes are given to God and are used to facilitate the worship of God. That's why tithes come to the church. It's because we facilitate the worship of God, even though you're giving those tithes to God. Right? And there's two parts, there's a two-part test in tithing. The first is God is testing to see if we are faithful to return to him what he has given us. But the other part is it's the only place in scripture where God says, test me. And tithing is a test that opens our lives to God's blessing, provision, and protection. Okay, if you want to know more, because we went deep into this heart issue last week, I would highly encourage you, if you did not hear last week's sermon, go and listen to it, because you cannot understand the twin principles of tithing and first fruits by themselves. You need both to really grasp the biblical truth, okay? With that, this morning, we are talking about the other side of these twin principles. I grew up with twin sisters, all right, Carrie and Cassie. The only difference in how they spell their name is one C-A-R-R-I-E and the other C-A-S-S-I-E. It's a cute twin thing, right? Parents were smart like that. And growing up, my sisters were always best friends, and I was always the little brother, right? And I was always trailing behind. Like, they were always doing things together and talking to each other, and like, I was always just kind of there because they were doing, everything they did was together. So now that we're adults, my sisters are still best friends, and I'm still trailing behind, right? They call each other and talk to each other constantly. There is something about twins. There is something about siblings, right, that are born at the same time you are, that creates a different level of connection, right? That idea of that connection is that same concept I need you to apply to this principle, is that there is a connection, a deep connection between the principle of tithing and the principle of first fruits. And you can exercise one without the other, but you're going to miss the biblical truth in it, right? The principle of tithing gives us instruction about what and how much to give, right? We talked about this last week. We are blessed with 100% from God, which God already says is all his anyway. But he says, 10% of that you give back to me. It is mine. The principle of first fruits, gives us instructions on when to give, right? And that's the logical concept. We're gonna get into the heart concept of it. Out of all of the messages in this series, this one is my favorite. And it's one, I think if we can grasp this truth, that it could radically change and transform our hearts. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, because I want to look at this verse. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10 says this: honor the Lord with your wealth. Stop, because some of you just read that and went, well, I'm not wealthy, so I don't got to do that. Actually, none of you did that, but like, in my mind, when I read that, I'm like, honor the Lord with your wealth. Golly, I don't have much. Except, you know, compared to the rest of human history and the rest of the world, I actually got quite a bit. Even compared to a lot of people in our own country and even our own communities, I'm a pretty blessed man. Honor the Lord with your wealth, what you receive, and with the first fruits of all of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. And here, again, we see this principle that when we give, we will receive back. And remember, we don't give to get. Some people will preach, we give to get, we give to get, we give to get. We give to give more. But the response to our giving is that God is going to bless and God is going to provide and God is going to protect. There's a reliance of God. It's not giving to get, but it is the result of a generous heart. But the verse says, right, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your produce. Every time I think of first fruits, not every time, often now as a parent, when I think of first fruits, I think of what happens like when we go to the store and bring home fresh fruit. Especially something the kids haven't had in a while. Like, they devour it. Like, they want it immediately. And so then, you know, the same week we're going, it's gone. The first produce is gone. So we're like, okay, well, we need to get more. And we'll bring it home, and then it'll sit in the fridge for 3 weeks and go rotten. Because the first fruit is what they want, right? And as silly as that example is, there's a truth in that. Because there's something about first fruits that God desires, not just desires, but he has set apart. The principle of tithing is giving God 10% because he said 10% is mine. But the principle of first fruits is ensuring that what we give is the first 10% the first, sorry, emphasis on first there, is the first 10%, because God said the first portion is mine. So here's the challenge for us. Is it sometimes giving and generosity just kind of fits with our schedule? I mean, we it's not that we don't give. I mean, we give. You know, when we're paying bills, you know, we go down the list. You know, we're paying our mortgage, we're paying our car payment. Oh, yeah, we can't forget we need to give to the church this month. Like, okay, let's do that. But the principle of first fruits is very different than tithing, because sometimes we get, okay, as long as I'm giving, I'm good, right? I gave, I'm good, I'm covered. But that's only half of the principle. And the other half really connects so deep with our hearts, but it also has the power to transform our lives in a radical way. And I want to show you how this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, we're going to be in and out of Exodus 13 this morning. So you can kind of keep your finger here if you want to reference back to it. The people of Israel have come out of captivity. They've received the law, and one of the things in the law that they hear is this. The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me, dedicate, sacrifice, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both man and beast, is mine. Okay, now there's a chance you've probably never heard this in a sermon on giving before. We're talking about animal sacrifice. Some of you are like, oh no, go lock Fifi up at home. What does Joel want? He wants our pets next. Okay, here's what I need to understand. Look at this principle. The principle is this, is that the first child or the first animal born to any mother, a human mother or a livestock mother, right? That, God said, that firstborn is mine. You consecrate that to me. If you skip down a few verses to verse 11, Exodus 13, 11. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborns of your animals that are male shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey shall be redeemed with a lamb. Or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn man among your sons, you shall redeem. Let me explain this principle, because it's important to know where we're going. You see, Moses said, hey, whatever opens and whatever's the firstborn, God says through Moses, this is mine. But it's not mine just because I'm greedy, it's mine to redeem, right? The point of the whole thing is you are going to redeem the firstborn. And with sacrificing the firstborn, you redeem all of the rest of the lineage. And so if you have a livestock, an animal that gives birth to a lamb, a male lamb, and it's the firstborn, and you sacrifice that first percentage, you're redeeming all of the rest. And here's the hard part. Right, and this is why it's a tithing principle, is that the men and women of Israel weren't 100% sure that you would ever give birth to any more lambs. And so there's an act of faith when you give the first percentage, when you give the first 10% to God and you redeem the other 90, you have to put faith in God that other 90 is going to be there. That's the opposite of what we think. Right, when it comes to money, is go, well, we're gonna give all these things, we'll make sure tithing is important, but you know what? You know, they're not gonna take my house away if I don't tithe. They will take my house away if I don't pay my mortgage. So we put our faith in ourselves, we put our faith in our job, we put our faith in our bank account to take care of our needs, and then we look at the excess and the leftover and go, okay, now I can give this to God. When God is saying, no, I want the first 10% because it's gonna redeem the rest of the 90. And you may have to put your trust and faith in me to redeem that, but that's the point. You can't redeem yourself. When we honor God by giving him the first 10%, we redeem the other 90%. We'll come back to this principle here in a minute, but I want to talk about this idea of firsts.
and why the first is so important. 2 weeks ago, we talked about where Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So my question is, what is first for you? What do you honor first? This past Wednesday night, our youth ministry talked about this concept with our kids, with our students, and how we honor God first. My son's a sixth grader, and I actually was on the way back from youth on Wednesday night. On the way back, it's that way. We're driving, and I'm asking him about, hey, you know, what'd y'all talk about tonight? And he goes, we talked about God and honoring God before everything else. And I'm like, do you feel like you do that? He goes, man, I try really hard to. And there was something in that, like, man, I really try hard to. That I have my son, a sixth grade son, talking about the value of honoring God first. And I was like, yes, if you can get this in sixth grade, it's gonna make a huge difference for you for the rest of your life. Because here's the truth, guys, there are people in this room that don't get this concept today. We're adults. We've read this. We maybe even heard sermons about honoring God first. And we make our list. This is kind of the thing that we do is we make our list of, hey, what's more important? Think about this. What we honor first is what we honor most. The thing we honor first is the thing we honor most. My kids also played this game lately where they asked me, hey, who do you love more? Is it me or Jackson? Yeah. Oh, Jackson, totally. Not really. I love you guys the same. I like you more depending on the day and how obedient you are. But like, I love you all the same. Well, do you love me or mommy more? Oh, well, I love mommy more. I'm called to love mommy more. The Bible says I'm to love mommy like Jesus loved the church and laid himself down for her. Like the Bible tells me I have to love mommy more. And what we're doing is I'm showing them who I honor most because for my sons to grow up and be good husbands and fathers, for my daughter to grow up and be a good mother and wife, they need to see that I will honor my wife first. But the same, they need to know that even above that, I honor God most and I honor God first. And if I'm honest, guys, there's been times where I've been frustrated and my kids see the worst of me, like your kids see the worst of you, or you've seen the worst of your kids. But what I want my kids to see isn't the worst of me, it's the best of me is who I honor first and foremost. And it's God. After a Little League baseball game, right? Who do parents go up and see? Right after the game's over, who do the parents go and see after the game? Their own child, right? Their own child may not be the star. Their own child may have ridden the bench the whole time and lost. But who do the parents go and see? Their own kids. You know why? What we honor first, we honor most. It's their kid. Even if the kid over here is like the star hitter who hit a grand slam and won the game, like you're still going to go to your child first. You may wish that your child had hit the grand slam and won the game. You may still go, hey, say great job. But if the parent goes to that kid first instead of their own kid, they're not honoring their child first. And there's, come to our parenting conference. Let's talk about this. Good financial stewardship honors God before anything else. Our tithes should go to God before we pay anything else. That's the simple principle of it. In fact, this week, Ashley and I are getting ready to go to sleep and we're in our bedroom, we're laying in bed and I go, hey, like we automate our tithe. Like, when does that come out? It's like the first thing we pay. We automate what's important, but I want to ensure that like that's still the very first thing that I'm paying. I know Steve talks about how they write a check out and there's a principle of this that's really good, right? You sit down, you write a check. It's the first bill that you pay. It's the first money that you set aside, that you dedicate. We automate it, and I know a lot of people in our church give online, right? Is it the first bill that you pay? Or is it just kind of lumped in? Because I think there's something important to our first fruits. And I want to show you in scripture where we see this. Adam and Eve had two sons. Genesis 4, verse 1. And the first was Cain, saying, I've begotten man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep. He's a farmer, sheep rancher. And Cain, a worker of the ground. He was a farmer. He tilled the ground, cultivated it. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground.
That phrase, of the fruit of the ground, that's important. Because Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. That is interesting. There's a correlation between not giving our first fruit and what sin does to our hearts and lives. Abel gave God the first of his flock, the first fruit, and Cain did not bring God the first of his fruit. He brought some of it. He just gave him some. It was what he had. And again, look at this in Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of what you produce. Cain's problem was he didn't give God the first. Abel did. Cain's offering, he was still giving to God, right? He was still offering to God, but God rejected it because Cain didn't honor God first. He honored him as a side note. Acts 4, in the New Testament, we see another interesting story. Sorry, I said Acts 4, Acts 5. We see another interesting story about giving in the heart. Acts 5, verse 1, it says, but a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter confronts him, right? He's only given a portion. Peter confronts him and says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back to yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? Right? It was all yours. Like, before you sold, it was all yours. But after you sold it, was it not at your disposal? So then why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. Here's the situation. Ananias and Sapphira, this couple, right? They're part of the New Testament church. They sell this land. Everybody else in the church is like selling and giving all of the proceeds to the church. They're living together. It's a great community. And Ananias and Sapphira says, I sold this land. Here's all the money, all of it from the sale. And Peter's like, is this all of it? Yes. What's the point of lying? That's his point. And Peter goes, you did not lie to me. You lied to God. And if you keep reading the story, the result is Ananias dropped dead for lying to God. So please give, but it's getting intense. After the men came back from burying Ananias, they walk in the door, right as Sapphira walks in. And Peter's like, hey, was this all the money? And she said, yes, dead. She also lied to God. Okay, it's kind of funny. I mean, it's not if you're Ananias and Sapphira, to be clear. It's kind of funny, but there's a deep point to this. Do not claim that God is most important when he only receives the leftovers. Do not claim you're honoring God most and first when you're not. It's not about the money. It's about the heart. God wants your heart. Ananias and Sapphira decided in their hearts to lie to God. Cain's heart was not for God. The impact on both stories is when God was not most important, it led to a pathway that you really can't come back from. And until God is the most important, you will never live in the blessing that he has for you. You can't. That doesn't mean good things aren't going to happen to you. That doesn't mean God's not going to bless you. But there is a correlation between blessing and giving. There's a correlation between the first 10% and the first fruits, right? Tithing and 10%. There's a correlation between generosity and a heart that is captivated by God because of how much he loves us. God has to be the most important. Nobody goes to five-star restaurants to get leftovers. Don't give God your leftovers. And if you wait to start giving after the other important bills are paid, I'm gonna tell you right now, you're never gonna have enough because your finances don't have the freedom or redemption that tithing and first fruit bring. I want to go back to this passage in Exodus 13, verse 11. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all the firstborn that open the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are male shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. This is important, right? Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. For the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. Here's the idea of what it's saying is that if an animal is clean, it's a firstborn animal and it's a clean animal, which is based off Jewish law, right? You sacrifice that animal in redemption. If it's a son, you sacrifice a spotless lamb for the son to redeem human. We don't believe in human sacrifice, nor does God, just so we're clear, right? You sacrifice an animal to redeem the son. If it's an unclean animal, like a donkey, donkeys are unclean animals. You take a lamb and you sacrifice it to redeem the firstborn that is unclean. It's a really important principle for you and I in our hearts. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. You know what that means? You're unclean. And you may be really unhappy about this, but you're the donkey in this situation. There is nothing you can do to redeem yourself. There is nothing you can do to save yourself. But you're also not the firstborn. You know who the firstborn is? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And the firstborn of all creation died to sacrifice himself for us, to redeem us. Redemption by Jesus. Jesus was the first 10%. We're the other 90. And it's because of what Jesus accomplished for us that we live in redemption. And so when we say to honor God first, we can say that as redeemed, we have lived this. We've experienced this principle. It saved us. So when we honor God first in all that we do, when we tithe and we make sure it's our first fruit to redeem, we are redeeming as the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Jesus' death was the first, as the firstborn, was for the redemption of all mankind. And it's this principle. You see, the death of Jesus, and this is hard. The death of Jesus honored God because it redeemed you. It doesn't mean it made God happy. But it honored him because of how it redeemed us. That's a hard principle. Sometimes this principle is hard when we apply it in our lives. It is hard to give 10%. It's hard to give the first 10%. Because what if 90% doesn't cover the rest? That's why we give the first 10%. It's because we're redeeming the rest to cover our needs, to trust in God for his protection and provision and blessing. The very end of this passage, in Exodus 13, it says, "And
when in time to come to your sons, and in time, your sons will come and ask you, what does this mean? Why are we redeeming the first? You shall say to him, by the strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It's interesting. This happened to me not too long ago. One of my sons said, hey, why do we give money to the church? Another one of my sons' wives said, well, that's where dad's paycheck comes from. Well, then why do we give it if you're just going to get it back? This is cyclical, right? No, that's not why we give. We give because we honor God most. We give because God said, that's mine, and the first is mine. But then we do it. It opens our life to be blessed and protected and provided for. If you're going, I don't have enough, the first thing I would say is give the first 10% to God. Honor him first. Test him. He says, test me, test him. You don't believe it'll really work? You may go, okay, Joel, I understand in my head what you're saying. I understand it in my head that it'll work. It's hard to get it here. It's hard when paydays come, when those bills come in the mail. It's like the only mail we get anymore other than Amazon packages. It's hard. It's not supposed to be easy. It is a test of us, but it's also an opportunity for us to test God. We're going to do something different this morning. I'm going to go ahead and ask for the guys to go ahead and come back up. Because I want to just take just another second and worship. We're about to sing a song, No Longer Slaves, and it's about freedom. It's about breaking through those difficult things in our hearts and lives. And it's about what happens as what we receive as children of God. And in this opportunity, this is what I want you to do, right? We just want to give the Holy Spirit a moment to move. You can stand, you can sing this song, you can sit, you can pray. Honestly, if you want to come up here and use this as an altar and kneel and pray, you're more than welcome to. But we want to give the Holy Spirit, as we've understood a principle, as we've worked through a biblical principle in our heads, we want to give the Holy Spirit the room to work in our hearts for just another minute this morning. So we're going to sing this song, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to go out from here. But this is a moment. We want to give the Holy Spirit that opportunity to continue to move in our hearts. Father, I thank you so much that you redeemed me. Even when I didn't deserve it. And even when I struggled to honor you and put you first, you still redeemed me. My redemption wasn't a condition for how much I would love you in return, and you did it anyway. So Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place this morning. We ask you to move in our hearts. Let deep biblical truth sink in. Let us worship you for just one more minute today.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Until all my fears are gone, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, and I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Ooh. my mother's womb. You have chosen me. Your love has called my name. And I've been born again to a family. Your love flows through my veins. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. Well, I'm no longer a slave to fear. 'Cause I am a child of God. Yes, I am. I'm no longer a slave. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. I'm yours, Lord. Yes, I am. I am surrounded by the arms of a Father, and I am surrounded by songs of deliverance, and we've been liberated from our bondage. We're free, Lord, we're free, Lord. And we're the sons and the daughters. We are. So let us see our freedom.
The sea.
Oh, you split the sea so I could walk right through. And you drowned my fears in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and see that I am a child of God. So I could walk right through it. And my fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and see that I am a child of God. That I am a child of God.
Father, thank you for drowning my fears in perfect love. God, let each and every one of us, those in this room, those watching online, God, let us live with the declaration that we honor you first and live in the provision and the blessing that you have for us. And when it's hard, when it's really hard, when other things in life and in the world want to take our hearts, take our attention, Father, I pray that we lean in.
in to your love, lean in to your transformation, lean in to what you have done for us and how you have redeemed us by sacrificing your son for us. Realign our hearts, realign our vision. Let us be men and women who are led and transformed by the Holy Spirit. It's in your name we pray.